This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. How to engage young professionals in our community. Later in the show, we'll hear about Bold Fusion 2015. First up, with so many individuals and companies clamoring for attention through so many different forms of media, it's a real challenge to do work that resonates with the marketplace and creates a true and lasting impact. Todd Henry, author and founder of Accidental Creative, says the key to standing apart from the noise is to find your unique, authentic voice. In his latest book, Louder Than Words, Todd Henry offers a strategy for uncovering, developing, and using your authentic voice. He joins us this afternoon to discuss his book and how to create a body of work that resonates with others. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Todd, good to see you this afternoon.
Thanks, Mark. It's great to be here.
Now, tell me about your company, Accidental Creative. That's an interesting name, especially the accidental part. How did that come about?
It is. Well, you know, it's interesting because I encountered people over the course of many years who are responsible for going to work, solving problems, generating ideas, turning thoughts into value every day. But they often didn't consider themselves to be creative. And I would tell them for a long time, no, you're a creative. You're an accidental creative. You don't mean to be, but you are, right? And you're privy to all of the same pressures and dynamics and all of these things that people who know that they go to work, designers, writers, you'll have to deal with. And so that phrase sort of stuck. It sort of became this kind of moniker that I gave to people who are working as a manager or a leader, an entrepreneur. And so over the course of time, that's kind of where most of my work is focused, is on helping people who have to make it up as they go, be more effective, build disciplines and practices to help them have ideas when they need them most.
That's a lot of us in the workplace, though, isn't it?
It is. It's an increasing number. I think that in many ways, we're learning a fundamentally new way of working and being human in the marketplace, because the pressure is really on for most of us to have to, you know, again, solve problems and create value out of nothing. I mean, that's really, I guess, probably the best way to describe it. We have to take all of these bits of data in the environment, weave them together into something valuable for the people we're trying to serve. And that can create a lot of pressure.
Now, you've been working at a regular full-time job prior to starting Accidental Creative.
Correct.
How tough was that transition for you?
You know, it's always tough when you make a leap. I think there's always going to be a leap. And this is what I tell people who start their own business is, you're never going to know for certain that it's right. There's always going to be a gap when you make the leap, and you're never going to know that it's going to succeed. I think that at some point you have to ask yourself, which will I regret more? Will I regret more missing the opportunity, or regret more, staying and ending up where I am now? Or will I regret more trying it and having failed? And it sort of got to the point for me where I realized, if I don't make the leap, several years ago, I realized that I would have pretty deep regrets, and there were tremendous opportunities in front of me, and I wanted to make sure I could take advantage of them.
Yeah, was the creation of Accidental Creative, was that when you found your authentic voice, do you think?
Well, I think, this is kind of one of these things that we talk about, finding your voice. It's a phrase that's often thrown around in culture, and I think that developing your voice, which is kind of the phrase that I try to use in the book as much as I can, is it's an ongoing process. It's something that, regardless of who you look at, if it's an entrepreneur, a writer, an artist, a designer, it's a process they've gone through over the course of many, many years of excavation, learning, redirecting, and then acting on what they see. And so I think that that was kind of, for me, that was one bold action, one decision that I made that put me on a path where I would have new opportunities and new ways of learning about who I am and the value that I contribute, for sure. But to say that I have found my voice, I think is a little premature at this point, because I think for all of us,
okay,
you know, that phrase, I think, sort of, implies that you're going to go out and dig in the dirt and open a box and say, ta-da, I found my voice. And if you look at people who have built substantive bodies of work over the course of many, many years or decades, these are people who are constantly learning, redirecting, and acting on their intuition and making bold decisions. And this word decision comes from the root word that means to cut off, right? So if you want to build a body of work that represents you and that is reflective of who you are over the course of time, then you're going to have to make bold decisions. And sometimes one of those bold decisions is to step out and into the unknown and make that leap.
But it's an ongoing process, is what you're saying. It's not just, voila, there, I'm here finally, right?
Correct.
It's something that's a lifelong.
Correct. And it's a process of active self-discovery, a process of you learn as you go. You notice the context, you see what you're observing, and then you act upon what you see. It's never something that settles. I think the moment that we settle into a place of comfort. I think the moment we settle in and we think that we've arrived, and we were talking about this before we went on the air, right? The moment that we settle in and we feel like we've arrived in some place of stability is a very dangerous place for us, especially in the marketplace today as fast as things are shifting.
So what led you to write this book, Louder Than Words? Why did you see a need to do this?
So my first book, The Accidental Creative, was about organizing practices to help you deal with the pressure of having to create every day, right? So it's basically about just organizing your work, getting into a place where you're doing, I guess, the important work or the most important work. And then the second book, Die Empty, was really about, okay, now that you're organized, are you really acting on the things that matter most? Are you doing the work that you're going to be proud of in 20 years? And as I was out speaking to groups, working with companies, talking to them about the second book, Die Empty, more and more people were coming up to me saying, okay, I'm doing the work that matters to me, but how do I make sure it resonates with my audience? How do I make sure that it's connecting with the people I'm trying to serve? Because there's so much noise out there. There's so much in the marketplace that's clamoring for attention. And so I really saw a need to then take that idea to the next place and say, okay, well, you're doing the work that matters to you. You're building a body of work you can be proud of, but how do you make that body of work resonate deeply with the people that you're ultimately trying to reach and to serve?
And that's where the authentic voice part comes in. How do you define that? What is authentic voice?
So I think when many people think about authenticity, they think about transparency. That's really the only definition they have is I'm going to open the kimono and I'm going to show everything and just kind of, you know, whatever may come, right? And I think, unfortunately, that is a very short-sighted understanding of authenticity. Authenticity, as I define it in the book, is about being invested in your work and invested in the outcomes. Letting people see that you care deeply about the work that you're doing. I think we live in a very cynical age. We live in an age when people are very, you know, snarky and they question motive, and rightly so, because frankly, there are so many people out there fabricating, you know, stories and trying to, you know, get attention without really caring about the ultimate impact of their work. And so I think that if we want to be truly authentic in what we do, we have to be invested. We have to put skin in the game. We have to show people that we really care about the outcome and that we care about them and about the impact we're going to have on their lives.
So when you talk about developing an authentic voice that helps you stand out, you really do mean authentic. You're not just talking about developing some clever marketing message.
Correct.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation with Todd Henry, his new book is Louder Than Words, Harness the Power of Your Authentic Voice. And what are the benefits, Todd, of developing this authentic voice? It has to be beyond just the business benefits. There have to be a lot of personal benefits to doing this.
Yeah, of course. Well, when you are operating from a place of authenticity, when you're investing in your work in a way that matters personally to you, then you're going to feel more satisfaction with your work. You're going to find more of a sense of passion and motivation. This word passion comes from the root word pati, which means to suffer, right? I think we think about passion as if it means, you know, something I like, something I enjoy, something I
really, really love.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, so I'm passionate about football, or I'm passionate about, you know, reading or what, and that's fine. But I think it helps to reclaim the meaning of that word passion rooted in its original form and to ask, what am I willing to suffer on behalf of? You know, if I need to in order to achieve an outcome. You know, so I think when we are operating from a place of authenticity, we're operating from a place of passion, meaning I'm willing to put more of myself into it. I'm willing to go the extra mile. I'm willing to pour myself more fully into this because I care so deeply about the outcome. And as a result, I think it creates more of a sense of personal satisfaction with our work as well.
Yeah, a lot of people struggle with this. My work doesn't have value, or I don't really mean that much in the corporate structure. A lot of people have they struggle with that on a daily basis. So is this a way that they can, something they can apply to help them just to re-energize their approach to work and to have a better attitude toward their work?
Unquestionably. And I think, you know, this is very common. I think, first of all, I think it's important that we recognize that all work has value. Work has value in and of itself simply because, you know, work is an act of dignity, you know, and I think, as humans, we're kind of wired to derive a sense of who we are and identity and meaning from the value we create. And so in a sense, you know, all work has value in that way. But I think many people, the kind of unfortunate misunderstanding that they have about work is that if I don't enjoy it, or if I'm not in the perfect job, then there's something wrong and I need to go jump to a different job, or I need to go find a different career, a different path. Instead of asking the question, how can I bring as much value as I possibly can right here to this circumstance in front of me? How can I pour more of who I am into where I am right now and try to be as resourceful as I can and as authentic and rooted as I can in my work, and then redirect as I go? And so I think when we begin to adopt that mindset, I think it completely reframes how we engage our days.
So what are five attributes to an authentic voice? How do you know if you've been successful at reaching those? What are those five attributes?
Yeah, so I looked at several examples in the book of what I call the markers of resonance for people who seem to do work that resonates deeply with the people they're trying to serve. The first is authenticity, and we already kind of addressed mm-hmm. that a bit. The second one is uniqueness. You know, there's a kind of uniqueness or a precision or a sense of identity among people who are doing work that resonates. And, you know, when you, I recently went to Chicago and heard, you know, the band U2 in concert. We had a chance to catch them in concert. It's kind of on my bucket list. And, you know, when they break into a song, you know, you hear it on the radio, hear it from a distance. It's, you know, you can tell pretty quickly who it is because there's kind of a consonance or a uniqueness to their sound. And that's really the third attribute is consonance. There's a consistency, an internal harmony within their work. The fourth marker is empathy. So your voice isn't just what you say. Your voice is how you're received. It's how you're heard by other people. And I think this is, I mean, you probably have had this experience as I have. You know, you speak on a recording or you put on a pair of headphones and all of a sudden your voice sounds very different than what you thought it sounded like, right? And the way other people hear you is not necessarily the same as the way that you're communicating. And your metaphorical voice is the same way. If you want to communicate and ultimately have impact with people, you have to cultivate empathy. You have to connect with them deeply and shape your message so that it will impact them. And so these are kind of the markers of resonance that ultimately help us shape our body of work and ultimately help us create impact and influence the people that we're trying to reach.
You gave an interesting example in the book of something, I guess this would have been something that wasn't resonant of Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Touring with the Monkees at one point, which I never heard of.
Right.
That was a disconnect, wasn't it?
It was absolutely a disconnect. And this is a great illustration. You know, in the late 1960s, Jimi Hendrix got the gig of a lifetime. I don't know how you would, you know.
He was getting started out at that point,
he
right?
was, yeah. He was very well known in the UK, but not so much in the United States. And so his management wanted to broaden his awareness in the marketplace, of course. And the Monkees were looking for musical credibility, you know, so they wanted somebody on the bill that would give them a sense of that, so turn them into musical heavyweights, I guess. And so they thought, well, hey, Jimi Hendrix and the Monkees is a match made in heaven. So they put, you know, Hendrix on tour with the Monkees. As you can imagine, this was an absolute disaster. Hendrix goes out on stage. He's trying to get the crowd involved.
All the teenage girls who love the Monkees are just going, what?
Absolutely. What? I don't. Yeah, exactly. You know, and so I think if you were watching in that moment, and this, by the way, this went on for, I think, maybe three or four shows. Finally, the fourth show, Hendrix took off his guitar, waved a, you know, profane gesture at the audience, according to legend, kind of walked off stage, right? If you were watching that incident, in that moment, and you just, that's all you knew about Jimi Hendrix, you probably would think, I'm watching one of the greatest failures in the history of the music business, right? Here goes this guy storming off stage. And we all know how this story ended. But that's a great example of audience message mismatch, or a great example of, you know, putting your work in front of an audience that isn't necessarily ready to receive what it is.
Well, neither side had their authentic voice going in that whole relationship, did they?
Well, I think that the authentic voice was there, but I think that the voice was presented in front of an audience that wasn't the right audience, right? The intended audience was not correct for what it was he was producing. Now, Hendrix also could have said, well, hey, I'm going to shape my music to be more like the Monkees, you know, in order to reach the audience. And that would have not been operating from a place of authenticity. And so sometimes when our work is not received the way we want, we have to step back and ask, is this because my work isn't where it needs to be, or is this because there's just an audience message mismatch?
More with Todd Henry on how to find your authentic voice. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Todd Henry joins me this afternoon. His new book is Louder Than Words, Harness the Power of Your Authentic Voice. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Todd, this is something that applies not just to creativity, though. You're talking about something that can be applied to any process, right?
Absolutely. Well, you know, our body of work, or the, we could call it the delta, the change that exists because we, you know, sucked air on this earth, so to speak. You know, that's the sum total of all the value we contribute when we're, you know, working, how we serve our family, how we develop ourselves, all of that. And the unfortunate reality is that many people end up building somebody else's body of work. They end up building, you know, a body of work that's representative of everyone else's priorities, everyone else's, intuitions, hunches, and they never really take the time to drill down into what is it that I am uniquely wired to be able to contribute? What am I wired to build? And so, and to me, that's profoundly sad. It's profoundly sad when I encounter someone who's maybe later in their career. And this happens all the time, by the way, as I work with companies and I'm sort of in and out of the marketplace. I encounter people who are in that place where they feel like they have built somebody else's body of work. And so, yes, it is. It's important that we infuse who we are in everything we do, because all of that is funneling up into a body of work we're going to point to at some point. And the question is, when we point to it, will we say that represents me, or will we say that represents somebody else?
So that's one of the hurdles to finding your authentic voice, I take it.
Correct.
What are some of the other hurdles that people face as they're trying to do this?
Well, one of them is, and we just addressed that a little bit, but is false narratives, or these narratives that live in our brain that tell us, hey, if you want to be valuable, you have to be one of those people. You have to be one of those people in the spotlight. somebody that everybody else is pointing to or celebrating, or you have to do this. I had a conversation recently with a guy named Richard Heitner, who's the global vice chair of Saatchi & Saatchi. And vice chair is very important in that title, because he said, Todd, I realized that I, for many years, have lived with this narrative in my head that told me, if you want to be important, you have to be the top honcho. You have to be the main person, the person in charge. You have to be the chair, not the vice chair, right? And he said, I realized a long time ago, I'm a really good number two person. I'm a really good person at organizing the organization, driving, objectives through the organization, supporting the person in the spotlight. But having been in the spotlight, he realized this isn't really what he was wired to do. And that's a narrative that had played in his head for so long. Now, if he had allowed that narrative to define his actions, he might be a miserable CEO of a company somewhere trying to be instead of understanding who he is and positioning himself properly and pursuing his unique contribution. And so I think all of us have to step back and ask, what are the narratives that are playing in my head that are telling me, hey, if you want to be valuable, you have to do this. And in so doing, it's causing us to compromise perhaps our true aptitudes, our true ability to contribute.
That number one role may not always be for everybody, but is that number two role, is it always for everybody, or
I don't think so. I think that's why everybody, it's an individual journey for everyone, right? And we each have to step back and ask, where are the opportunities in front of me right now? And how am I uniquely wired to be able to contribute value? And as we do that, regardless of where we are, regardless of our role in the organization, regardless of the kind of work that we're doing, as we do that, we can always act, observe, and redirect in the moment. And that's really what the process of developing your voice is. It's a process of active discovery.
Here are some examples of people who successfully harnessed the power of their own authentic voices.
I give many in the book, but I'll give one example that the person that I probably hold up as my creative hero is Steve Martin. What do you want to call him? The comedian, the novelist, the actor, the bluegrass banjo player, right? I mean, here's a guy who over the course of his career has reinvented himself so many times. And do you say that Steve Martin found his voice when he was a stand-up comedian? Do you say he found his voice when he was an actor, when he was a novelist? Do you say he found his voice when he started playing bluegrass music? Here's a great example of somebody who has basically just said, hey, I'm going to step back and look at who I am and figure out what do I care about and figure out a way to infuse that into whatever I'm doing. And as a result, he's woven this amazing tapestry of a career that everybody points at and says, whoa, that's amazing. We can each do the same thing if we are diligent, if we are urgent, and if we're willing to step back and look at the patterns and then engage where we see it's appropriate.
So what is the first thing people should do? It's a journey.
It is.
What's the first step they should take in this journey?
So there are some phases that we go through as we develop our voice. I'll quickly go over these because then we're kind of short on time. But the first one is we identify someone that we admire, somebody who's doing what we want to do, and then we talked again sort of briefly before we went on air about Ira Glass and his sort of talking about the gap that exists. Most of us who are creative people or we have something we want to make, the problem is, according to Ira Glass, we have taste, right? So we see something we like, we love, and we want to be able to do it, but our skills don't match our ability to be able to create something that's reflective of those things that we love. And so we get frustrated and we give up hope. And the reality is that if we want to eventually make something that we're proud of that reflects our taste, we have to go through a period of emulation, which means find somebody that we know and respect, somebody who's doing something that we really respect, and emulate them, develop our skills by honing them, by emulating that person, right? Or by sharpening our own ability to engage by emulating what we already see them doing. And then at some point, once we build a sort of platform of expression, then we can begin to take risks to sail perpendicular to the shoreline. We can begin to apply our own unique perspective and aptitudes. Nobody comes out of the womb ripping off amazing Jimi Hendrix licks, right? That happens right. over time as we build a platform and then we begin to diverge.
Can you apply this not only to yourself, but to developing a voice for the team that you work with as well?
Absolutely. And as a leader of a team, your job is to be the dot connector in chief, right? So, you know, I always tell, you know, any leader that wants to hone, wants to develop the team's voice, that your job is to pay attention to the patterns in the environment, just like you would for yourself. Pay attention to the patterns in the environment, call them out, connect the dots, and make sure that the team understands what do you care about, what do the people that we serve are trying to care about, and then what are some of the themes that are important right now that we're seeing, that we're noticing, that we need to make sure become a through line for our work. And your job is to make sure everything ties back to that through line, ties back to the compelling why of the team, so that people can easily engage, so they don't, you know, sort of dry up on the plane. They feel like they can center their energy, their efforts around that through line.
And you have a chapter on daily practices that you can do to sharpen your skills. And you've created worksheets that people can use to help them find their authentic voice. Tell
Correct.
Us some about that.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, I've discovered in my own life is that if I want to stay in game shape, if I want to be ready to deliver,
you have to exercise.
You have to exercise, yeah. Right? And so one of the ways to do that is to have a set of daily practices in your life that enable you to be able to deliver at a moment's notice. So I created at toddhenry.com/dailies. I created a worksheet and some other methods for people to be able to incorporate those daily practices into their life to help them develop their own voice.
And tell us about the event you have coming up at the Northern Kentucky University Med Center. That's August 20th, is that right?
It is, correct. Yeah, I'm very excited about this. Going to be talking about the book and sharing some very specific practices and mechanisms for people to develop their voice individually and also collectively as a team and as an organization.
But last question for you. This is something you can do at any point in your life, right? This doesn't have to be when you're just starting your career. It doesn't have to be when you're midway through. It doesn't have to be when you're at the end. This developing an authentic voice is something that it's never too late. Is that right?
It's never too late and you never arrive. And I think that's one of the great lies of our age. I think in a culture that, you know, is obsessed with the new and what's going on now and what's new and happening and hip and all these kinds of things that, see, I just, right now I just said words that, you know, mean nothing to the younger generation because that's, but, you know, it's all about what's new. And I think as a result, sometimes we tend to think that, the narrative is that it's too late for me. You know, I'm past it. I'm past my opportunity. And I think that's a great lie. And I think that, we each need to embrace a mindset of contribution and say, hey, there is plenty ahead of me. How can I contribute now? How can I bring who I am to what I do every day so that I can build a body of work that I will point to in pride?
And it's never too early either.
Yeah. The journey begins the moment that you, you know, the moment that you realize that you have intuition and the ability to act, the moment the journey begins. Yeah.
Todd, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Todd Henry is the author of Louder Than Words, Harness the Power of Your Authentic Voice. Coming up, we'll get a preview of Bold Fusion 2015. And in focus on technology, 3D printers in space. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.